What's up, everybody? My name is David EJ Berger. You can find me at Carl Jr. on Twitter, and welcome to Training Camp Dialed In. I'll be featuring phone calls with NFL writers and reporters from the actual sidelines of camp. Well, that's normally how this works. They'll be virtually on the sidelines this season, but I'll still be getting their inside knowledge about the teams they cover from a fantasy perspective. This is the place to be all month long, as I'm bringing you 3 to 4 shows per week filled with football knowledge that's going to help your team win your leagues this season. So you need to subscribe to the Dynasty Happy Hour feed, the exclusive home of this super short run yet super essential podcast for the month of August. And we are back! And we are rolling, rolling, rolling. And not in the lame late 90s Limp Bizkit way. Although, I have been a bit nostalgic for the 90s lately. But more like 91, 96-ish. That's the 90s sweet spot, if you ask me. But I guess you didn't. We are rolling, rolling, rolling in the best way possible. And that is to the kickoff of the 2020 NFL season. And as we roll along here, we are picking up nuggets of info from the smartest NFL writers in the game. And today is no different. And we are staying on trend with states in which I have lived. We are traveling from California to the great state of Ohio, where I was born and raised, about 2.5 hours, sometimes 3, north on I-75 from today's team, the Cincinnati Bengals. And before we hop into the interview, I would like to correct an error I made during the forthcoming chat. The Bengals were in 11 personnel 76% of the time, not 63, but today's guest correctly points out that was the most in the league. But who is this guest? Well, I dialed up Ben Baby. He covers the Cincinnati Bengals for ESPN.com. The four letter. That's right. I'll say it again. ESPN. This is big time. And while you can find him at Ben_Baby on Twitter, you should really go to the Bengals page on ESPN.com to check out his work and keep up with the team. This is exciting. What are we waiting for? Let's bring him on. Ladies and gentlemen, Ben Baby.
Hey, David. How's it going?
Hello, Ben.
Hey, how's everything going?
It's going great. Thank you so much for talking with me. How about yourself?
Good, good. You know, just another busy day in Bengaldom over here. So we've got John Ross going on COVID and all sorts of other stuff. I mean, it's been a pretty busy day, but that's good. I mean, it's better than the alternative right now.
Absolutely. And I'm excited to talk about that and more and really get to know this Bengals team better.
I appreciate you wanting me on.
No, thank you for coming on. I'm very excited to chat for the first time and get to know this Bengals team for 2020. But before we really dig in, I've been taking a moment off the top to get to the less than fun stuff, the COVID. This does affect the personnel we're about to talk about. So who are the Bengals that have opted out and or popped up on the COVID reserve list so far? I know we just mentioned that a big name came up today.
Yeah, you know, I think the biggest name so far, especially for those who are going to play fantasy this year, would be John Ross. The wide receiver for Bengals 2017 first round pick. I mean, I think they've for the last couple of years, especially with this new staff, they had hoped that he'd be able to come in and really play well. And last year, as he was finding his confidence and his rhythm, he suffered a sternoclavicular injury. There you go. And so he was out on IR and that kind of derailed him. And then today there was reported that his son and his son's mother contracted COVID. So he's actually headed back out to California to be with them during this time. And so, you know, it's unclear how long, like everything with the pandemic, I think there's really no idea what any kind of time length is going to be. So, you know, if he's out for, you know, I know it's a trivial thing when you're talking about someone having to deal with the virus like this, but, you know, if he is able to come back and play, you know, or if he's delayed in being able to come back and play, that could be an issue moving forward for this team. But, you know, given this whole situation, I think that's the least of anyone's concerns.
Absolutely. And always want to put family first. What about any opt-outs? Were there any major opt-outs for the Bengals?
Yeah, a couple of low-key opt-outs. You had a defensive tackle, Josh Tupou, and an Isaiah Prince, an offensive tackle. Both guys who are, you know, Tupou is probably the more notable one. I think he would have been a pretty significant rotation player, especially helping out the guys up front and Geno Atkins and new free agent DJ Reader. But, you know, they signed Mike Daniels today. That became official. And that's a very intriguing acquisition because I think that if he's able to overcome the injuries that have kind of plagued him over the last couple of years, he could be a really fascinating piece and could, you know, really solidify the middle of that defense that's going to be really strong. I mean, if Daniels plays up to that Pro Bowl level, you'll have him, Geno Atkins, and DJ Reader, and that's a pretty salty group in the middle of that interior defensive line.
Great information. Thank you so much, Ben. So far, this training camp experience has been not great for the teams and the media. And with the protocols, we've had a prolonged amount of reps in shorts and t-shirts, but we are inching closer to this thing really ramping up with pads and full go practice on the horizon. So the pages have been turning at camp in some respects. To that end, are there any big headlines that fantasy gamers should know about Bengals camp up until this point?
You know, I think the biggest thing is going to be Joe Mixon's usage moving forward and what they end up doing with him. I think there's a lot of chatter about him potentially getting more receptions, being used more in the passing game. And, you know, historically that, you know, I know that Joe's done it a little bit in Oklahoma and you know, what Lincoln Riley did. You know, I think he's one of those innovative minds in college football. And you're going to start to see a lot of his schemes and formations and philosophies continue to trickle up to the NFL, especially as you see another Big 12 guy in Patrick Mahomes go out and be as transcendent as he was last year. But, you know, I think Mixon in the passing game, the offensive coordinator Brian Callahan said that's something they've explored. Now, is that something that Mixon's going to be able to do well? I think that's going to be the big question mark. He had a few opportunities last year, not a ton, and so it's hard to gauge how effective he's going to be. But if they are, you know, going to use him more in the air game, that's fascinating because Mixon has been a very productive rusher. Unfortunately for fantasy owners, he hasn't really produced the touchdowns that you would have liked, but he's been very productive on the ground. And, you know, if they can get, the red zone production last year was among the worst in the NFL, which is a cause for concern for any fantasy players that, you know, or owners, if you're going to draft anybody with the Bengals. But if Cincinnati can fix that and Mixon can, you know, maybe skew a little bit better than he did last year, maybe get a little luckier in the red zone, that could bode well. So I think that he's, you know, what if the duality of his usage and how that's going to be used in 2020 is probably the biggest headline for me from a fantasy standpoint for this team.
Fantasy gamers love Mixon right now. He's a hot name in the ether, and we're going to talk more about him here as we go along and this offense as a whole. So why don't we get right to it? While there's a lot to shake out, you've been covering this team all offseason, so there's no one better to talk to in terms of what this Cincinnati offense will look like on the field in 2020. But first, a quick reminder of how this Bengals offense played out in 2019, which I'm sorry to do because I think most Bengals fans and even fantasy gamers would like to forget it. And some of these numbers explain why. Oh boy, here we go. The Bengals were 30th in total points scored, 26th in total yards. But let's pivot away from that and get a sense of how it functioned. This is an offense that actually finished top 9 in both pass attempts and plays run, but 25th in rush attempts. So this offense was on the field a lot, and when they were throwing the ball, predominantly in 11 personnel, featuring 3 wide receiver sets on 63% of their plays. While head coach Zach Taylor and offensive coordinator Brian Callahan are carrying over some consistency entering year 2 of their regime, gone is Andy Dalton, and in his first overall pick, Joe Burrow, who everyone is expecting to be under center on day 1. But what are you expecting this offense to look like in 2020 with a rookie QB at the helm in terms of scheme, formations, tendencies? Anything that will help fantasy gamers get a sense of the Bengals offense in 2020?
Yeah, you know, I think a lot of those numbers are really great as I continue to look up a couple of these here. You know, the Bengals, like you said, ran 11 personnel more than any other team in the league. They love those 3 wide receiver sets. And this year, I expect that to be, you know, especially potent depending on, you know, how quickly Joe Burrow can get his feet wet in the NFL. When you look at the Bengals receiving core, they've got 3 quality options. You know, if we do get John Ross back in the mix here, you got Tyler Boyd, you have A.J. Green, and then Ross. And Ross and Green really haven't been on the field much at the same time. And all 3 of those guys can be really dynamic. Green didn't play a single snap last year after he suffered a major ankle injury that kept him out for the entire season. It sounds like he has, been really strong throughout offseason workouts back in Atlanta, and the coaching staff has really been, you know, optimistic about what he's going to be able to do. And then, you know, if you want a late round pick, T. Higgins might be a very interesting, you know, wide receiver 4, you know, candidate because, you know, he's a guy who, you know, because of how much the Bengals run 11, you know, they're probably going to go to their 4th receiver a good amount. And Higgins is a guy who modeled his game after A.J. Green, you know, has been, you know, very productive in his years at Clemson, you know, a lot of great skills that he showed. And one of the reasons why that offense was so potent, you know, I think the thing is you might want to get him maybe if you know, it wouldn't hurt to, you know, maybe a late round stash or, you know, if you've got a spot early in the season and you're like, you need a receiver, I think Higgins might not be a bad option there. I think the question with him is, you know, is he going to really feel into his body? And talking to his former assistant coach at Clemson, Jeff Scott, you know, he said that he thinks that, you know, Higgins may need a full year to kind of really get his body to what it needs to be in the NFL. But I think the reps are going to be there because of how much, you know, they ran 11. That being said, I would kind of stay away from Giovanni Bernard. I know that, you know, he is necessarily their third down back, but I just, the amount of touches that he gets, I'd kind of stay away from him. The tight ends, you know, they lost Tyler Eifert last year. And now they're going to have to figure out a new pass catching option at that position. You know, Drew Sample and CJ Uzomah seem like the guys that, you know, are going to, you know, fit that category there. But if I'm a fantasy owner, I would not, you know, there's only four guys that would theoretically draft. It's AJ Green, Tyler Boyd, John Ross, and then Joe Mixon. And then if you want to roll the dice on Burrow, so be it. I think the question is going to be how long is it going to take for him to get up to speed. And, you know, I think that's going to take a good amount of the year. So, you know, I think that, you know, right now the receivers are probably the safe options. And even then, like I just said, it does depend on what Burrow does and how quickly he's going to acclimate to the NFL game.
Well, let's talk about Burrow next. A popular hot take out there in the fantasy echo chamber is selling the upside of Burrow as a guy who could see a lot of volume on a still improving team. And considering the talent of Burrow and the potential for him to be out there chucking it up, trying to keep this Bengals team competitive, I don't see that as an awful narrative to sow, but you know this team better than anybody. What should fantasy gamers expect from Burrow this season?
You know, it is really fascinating because, you know, every time you talk to somebody about Burrow, I think the thing that really jumps out is that his knowledge of the game so far as a rookie is pretty far advanced from those who are also coming into the league or have come into the league before. He's displaying a lot of confidence around his teammates, a guy you wouldn't think hasn't taken an NFL snap yet. And, you know, I think that part of Burrow's game is, you know, talking to enough people, I feel strong about saying that he's got a good grasp of the system and what Zach Taylor is going to want from him. And of course, they're going to run some of the concepts that they used at LSU and that he was successful with. And a lot of that stuff was pro style as well, because you got to remember that, you know, Joe Brady was in New Orleans before he went to LSU. And now Brady, of course, is in Carolina with new coach Matt Rule. So I think Burrow, if you're looking for a quarterback late, I can see the argument for, you know, taking him, but, you know, in my eyes, like, I just think it's going to take some time for him to figure this thing out. A lot of people have made the parallels to Peyton Manning's rookie year, and Peyton himself has talked to Joe about how much of a struggle it was. And, you know, I could see Joe Burrow having some struggles and really, you know, trying to get his footing, especially because he's not going to get some of these preseason reps or any preseason reps that other quarterbacks before him had. He didn't get rookie minicamp, no OTAs. So for him to really figure out the speed of the game and how tight the passing windows are in the NFL, that's something he might not be able to learn until you get to week one. I mean, there's only so much of that you can replicate in practice and at scrimmages. So it's going to be really fascinating to see what Burrow's development is going to be like. I think it really just depends on the board. If you're in your fantasy draft and you say, oh, why not? I really like the kid. I want him on my roster. Then, you know, so be it. But, you know, I think there will be enough better options out there that, you know, I wouldn't draft Burrow unless you're really out of options.
Head coach Zach Taylor comes from the McVay background. I mean, I wouldn't call it a tree, as McVay isn't exactly got his own roots that deep. But McVay was a guy who, when he came into the Rams, he kind of inherited Jared Goff. Opposite situation here with Burrow. How much do you see Taylor instilling his offense and forcing Burrow into that role versus developing around Burrow and seeing the things that he can do on the field and maybe utilizing those in what they're going to do?
You know, I think Zach, you know, this is his second year, and you got to remember he was never a full-time offensive coordinator at the NFL level. The last time he did that was at the University of Cincinnati, and that did not go well under now Senate candidate Tommy Tuberville. So, you know, it's a very fascinating to see what Zach's offense is going to look like. I think they're going to end up, like you said, maybe tailoring some of these things around, you know, Burrow and kind of, you know, going to his strong suits. And that's what most offensive coordinators and play callers do. What they, you know, if you talk to a lot of good ones around the league at both the college level and the pro level, you know, there's a lot of things that they can schematically do and fit within their system and their philosophy. But if a quarterback isn't comfortable and doesn't have the confidence in that play call or that concept, they'll go ahead and throw it out. They want to know, okay, what are you good with? What do you feel best? And you know, what can you execute on the field? And I think, you know, Burrow isn't going to be one who's going to be shy about what works and what doesn't. And knowing what I know about Zach Taylor and offensive coordinator Brian Callahan, you know, they crave that feedback because they want to feel good about the play call going in. and want to know their guy can execute it. And so, you know, Zach does have his philosophy. Like you said, he comes from that, you know, him and McVay are similar in that regard. But, you know, in the same vein, Zach has also shown a propensity to change if things aren't working. You know, take last year, for example, their run game was an unmitigated disaster. And then, you know, after week eight, they played in London, they lost to the Rams, coincidentally enough. And then on the plane ride back, they essentially scrapped their whole run scheme. And because of it, Joe Mixon was able to hit 1,000 yards at the end of the year, something we didn't think was going to be possible. So, you know, we talked to some of these players, and they said, you know, this offseason, we have a better feel for what our offensive identity looks like because we've played and we know what our strong suits are. And I think really that's I think that's really saying Zach knows what his strong suits are and what this team can and can't do. So, you know, I think there's going to be some experimentation early as to what Burrow is going to be comfortable with, especially since you're not going to get that in preseason games. And once you figure that out, then you'll get a feel of, okay, how productive is this offense going to be? Because at the end of the day, they have to be better. And when you look at their drive rates, they were one of the worst in the league last year at points per possession, which is something they have to improve on if they want to be better.
Absolutely. Great stuff. I love it. Well, we've talked about Burrow's pass catchers in the wide receiver room a little bit so far, but let's dig in a little deeper here. Fantasy headliner AJ Green is still around after a belated gap year that saw him sit out the entire 2019 season, as you mentioned, thanks to an ankle injury. In his absence, Tyler Boyd was the biggest boom for fantasy gamers with 90 catches, over 100 yards, and 5 touchdowns. And he did this with a very sexy 148 targets. We love the target volume in fantasy. In comes rookie wide receiver T. Higgins, who we talked about a little bit already. He gained a lot of buzz on the national stage at Clemson and from producing there as well, with over 2,400 yards and 27 touchdowns in his career. So there's a lot to like here, in addition to John Ross when he eventually comes back, and big-bodied Auden Tate, who has flashed, especially for DFS grinders. This is a lot of guys who have provided points in some shape or format for fantasy gamers in the past, but how are you expecting this room to play out on the field?
You know, it's interesting from a fantasy standpoint because you throw the ball enough times, well, there are going to be a lot of targets, but like you said, all of them have flashed in spurts, and there isn't going to be maybe the consistent numbers that you look for. You know, Tyler Boyd did see a ton of targets because, number one, you didn't have A.J. Green on the field, and Andy Dalton felt comfortable with Boyd out there. And so, you know, I think that, you know, he is a, especially in a PPR league, I really like having Boyd there. He's a guy who's, really developed as a route runner, is a guy who can, you know, find space in the middle of the field and can be kind of that comfort blanket for quarterback, which is, you know, great for a rookie because you know that you're going to have a dependable guy out there and he's going to run clean routes. He's going to find space. So Boyd is a really intriguing option. AJ Green, I think if he's healthy, you know, by all accounts, he still feels like he's going to be an elite receiver. You know, if that speed is there, you know, he's going to be, I mean, you go look at his numbers when he's on the field and he's been one of the most productive receivers in the NFL. Now the question is how healthy is he going to be? You know, is someone willing to take a waiver or a risk on him? You know, I could see him being a sneaky mid-round pick. I think that's still going to be the number one receiver off the board out of this Bengals unit, with Boyd being second. And then, you know, Ross is a boomer bust guy. And the thing is that whenever he touches the ball, more often than not, he's got a high rate of getting into the end zone. If you go look at his catches compared to his touchdowns, it's a pretty, you know, astronomical rate. You know, I don't have that exact number in front of me, but it is something that is much higher than the rest of the league. The problem is he's got to be able to get the ball in his hands and he's got to stay healthy. So there are a lot of really interesting options, and we didn't even get to Tate, who is a really big body and can be a big red zone threat, and Higgins, who is a big X factor. So, you know, I think that there are, in deeper leagues, there are some guys that you can maybe stumble across at the end of a draft if you don't really like your options or if they're sitting out there on the wire like we indicated, because how much the Bengals are in 11. And I don't really see that changing anytime soon, especially, you know, considering it's, you know, Zach Taylor, you know, is a big numbers guy in terms of what he likes in the box. And I think that dictates the personnel. And so you're going to see them running out of 11 as well. And so I think right now you those receiving options, there's a lot there. And it's just all about, you know, like with any, I'm not great at fantasy at all, but for me, you know, I'm looking at what's going to be out there on the board, and you know, if it's at the right spot and you feel comfortable, I don't think there should be any hesitation about taking those receivers.
And we're feeling good about Tate making the team. There's no, I mean, he was a guy who was fringe before, but he seems to have proven himself.
Yeah, I definitely think so. I think that on Tate, I mean, like you said, was a bubble guy last year, but given how well he played, I just can't see that. I know he's actually been working out with Anquan Boldin out in Boca Raton this year, working on his speed a little bit. And, you know, if that can improve, I think that, you know, he can really have a lot of upside this year.
Dynasty Tate truthers are loving to hear that, Ben. Thank you. Let's move on to the running backs. We've talked about Joe Mixon a little bit. When you're talking about the running back room in Cincy, he is the headliner. He's trending with a late first round ADP, just like last year. After a slow start in 2019, he closed out the season on a tear, as you mentioned. But here's some numbers. From week 9 to week 17, he averaged 22 attempts, over 100 yards on the ground, and over 20 through the air. And all 5 of his rushing touchdowns came in that span. Fantasy gamers who bought low on him before the trade deadlines were very happy, myself included in that. I'll pat myself on the back. But it is hard to forget that slow start and the fact that this offense is still in flux. Do you think Mixon will have the type of season that will justify his current lofty ADP?
Yeah, you know, I think that, like you said, when we look at the run game last year, it really is the tale of two seasons, for lack of a better cliche. You know, they tore up the run scheme and really, you know, completely altered what they did in the run game. And obviously it worked. And you got to remember last year as well, they, because of, you know, the struggles of Andy Dalton, and then you had Ryan Finley in there for a few games. You know, they leaned on Mixon, and he was a guy who was very dependable. You know, he's stayed healthy. You know, he enjoys getting the ball a lot in his hands. And he's a guy that this coaching staff really trusts. And I think, you know, depending on what happens with his contract situation, because he is in the final year of his rookie deal, you know, he could be a very key long-term piece for this team. And I know that he's someone that this coaching staff and Zach Taylor are really high on. So, you know, the big X factor is going to be how many catches is he going to get? What are those numbers going to look like? And, you know, I don't expect him to be a Christian McCaffrey type of guy to be just getting the ball in the run and the passing game a lot. But, you know, for right now, if the Bengals decide to throw the ball in first and second down, you know, Mixon seems like a quality option. And, you know, I know we talked a little bit about Gio Bernard and his usage. You know, right now, I think Bernard's going to be a third down back. And, you know, who knows how much he might be rotating in with other guys because they have, a decent amount of running backs. And that'll be a very interesting battle as the preseason winds down. So, you know, right now, I think Mixon as a first rounder, it makes sense. I think the thing is how many touches is he going to get in the red zone? And, you know, and especially when you look at having a rookie quarterback, you know, it's easy to say, all right, you know, maybe, you know, if Joe Burrow gets rocked on a drive, you know, the coaching staff would say, all right, let's turn around and hand it to Joe Mixon. So it makes sense that you would want to go get Joe, and why Joe's ADP is where it's at, because I think he does have a lot of upside, especially when you look at the scheme change at the end of last year and now having a rookie quarterback and how much more valuable a dependable running back can be for him.
But the question marks are still there. Are they going to get in the red zone? Is he going to get the pass volume that will unlock that true upside? And I think those are legitimate concerns. And because of how training camp is, the offseason has been, we're not going to get a real sense of that until right up until your draft. So just, you know, keep that in mind.
Exactly. And let me see here. I'm trying to see, just out of curiosity, I was wondering, in Mixon ranked 24th in receiving yards by running backs last year, according to ESPN Stats and Info. And if you want to look at his target number, as I pull this up here, you know, Giovanni Bernard actually had more targets than Mixon did. Actually, I take that back. Mixon had 45, but Bernard had 43, which is kind of astounding considering how much more Mixon was on the field. So, you know, and Mixon ended up ranking 28th according to our metrics. So, you know, I think if you're a fantasy owner, you'd like to see him maybe get up into that top 20 range. For example, Todd Gurley was 21st with 49, and that's with all of his problems that he had last year. But, you know, I think the Bengals would be wise to use him more in the passing game. And, you know, if they do end up, you know, holding true to that, then, you know, Mixon seems like a very logical choice for a first-round pick.
Let's take a trip down memory lane. Week 16, championship week for most fantasy leagues. Mixon pops up with a stomach bug in Miami. Was this guy really sick, or was it the Miami flu?
That's a very good question. He did not look I don't know if it was a bit of a hangover or what, but he did not look great. I remember walking up to the press box after I took some video, and it just absolutely blew up, and I had no idea why. And then I saw the rumors that he might be not feeling too hot. So that was an interesting game, because the loser of that game essentially got the number one pick. And the Bengals tried their hardest to basically throw away Joe Burrow because they tied the game on the final on a Hail Mary at the end of regulation after it looked like they were all but done. So that was a very wild week in Miami, to say the least.
Well, if you're going to go wild, Miami's a great place to do it. Okay, we have Gio Bernard slated in as the backup. Are there any other running backs flirting with being fantasy relevant this season?
No, just sell them all. Like, I'm just going to save everybody some headache right now. It's not a knock on any of those guys. I think they actually do have a pretty talented group of running backs if they all play up to their potential. Obviously, you know what Gio Bernard brings to the table. We talked about Mixon extensively. Travion Williams, who wasn't, I don't think incredibly healthy last year, was the top running back in the SEC in 2018. And Rodney Anderson, I remember covering him in high school, and I think he's one of the most dynamic running backs the city of Houston has produced. And obviously, he did well at Oklahoma. And then Jacquez Patrick could be an interesting third down option as well. But all of that being said, I really don't think, because of when you talk about the scheme, you can't have everything in any offense. And if you're going to sell, if you're going to buy all these receivers, you've got to sell on the running backs. And that just makes sense given the Bengals personnel and how much they use 11, like we've talked about. So, as much as, Bernard, seems like a decent option, as a potential fantasy guy, I think that there are a lot better running back, that you could get as either a platoon guy or somebody that you just need because of injuries or whatnot. But, outside of Mixon, there's nobody I would draft on my team in that backfield.
Let's say you've held on to Rodney Anderson in hopes that it might happen. Is it time to maybe move on and hit that drop button from your deep dynasty team?
The thing that is really tough is that we can't even see any preliminary reports on what the depth chart looks like because we haven't been out on the field. So I can't tell you what team he's running with or how he looks because we haven't seen him. So that makes all of this a little bit difficult. But I think that I would probably drop Rodney, as much as I think that he has a lot of potential. I just think in this offense and in this system, there's really only room for one running back to get a lot of touches, and that's Mixon. And especially if they end up paying Mixon, or something happens with his contract, I think that they're gonna need him. And so, we'll see. Now, if something does happen to where Mixon, wakes up one morning and says, "I don't feel like playing," and there becomes an impasse between the coaching staff or the front office of Mixon, then you might see everyone's usage change tremendously. But that still remains yet to be seen. But right now, I still take Mixon as the only viable running back. And unfortunately, as much as Sooner fans and others may be holding on to Rodney Anderson, I think it might be time to let him go.
All right, Rodney. Sorry, Rodney. I'm gonna be dropping you soon. I need the room. I need the roster space. Sorry. All right, rounding to the finish here. We've mentioned some of the tight end names before, but let's dig in a little bit deeper. We've lost Tyler Eifert. We still have Drew Sample, and we still have CJ Uzama, who are probably not getting drafted in most traditional drafts, but these guys are definitely rostered in Dynasty play and could definitely offer some cheap DFS play upside week to week and offer some streaming upside as well. What do you think about the chances of the Bengals having a fantasy-relevant tight end this season?
It's interesting because I'm still trying to figure that out myself. The Bengals, as hurt as Eifert was, and everyone knows what his injury history was. I mean, they theoretically babied him as much as possible and tried to protect him as much as they could. And anytime you saw Eifert on the field, he was probably going to be used as a target. And sure enough, he was their top pass-catching option, even though the snap count was really limited for him. And so now with him gone, you have Drew Sample, and like you said, CJ Uzama, and there's been a lot of Sample hype throughout the offseason. You've heard a lot of chatter about him, and the coaching staff really liked what he did prior to him suffering an ankle injury that knocked him out for the rest of 2019. But I just don't know. I'm curious to see how much you use a tight end, and really that kind of stems from the usage. And Drew Sample wasn't necessarily a big pass-catching option. I could be wrong, but, if I remember correctly, that's not one of the big upsides. I think he was touted as a key run-blocking option, and the pass game was kind of secondary for him. So, given what I've seen out of CJ and Drew both, they're going to need somebody to catch passes out of tight end. I'm sure, if I had to pick one, I'd probably go with Drew because he's the younger guy, and he was a second-round pick and somebody they've obviously invested a lot in, and they're going to want to see what he can do in that role. But I just don't know. I think the receivers are too good and Mixon is too good that if you think about it, who do you want? You look at who's going to be on the field in an 11 package. You've got theoretically John Ross, Tyler Boyd, AJ Green, and Joe Mixon. And then the tight end would theoretically be your fifth guy you want the ball in their hands, especially, you know, if you can't get them out in space. So I think it remains yet to be seen. I'm curious to see what it looks like at camp. I think that'll dictate a lot of, you know, how we view these tight ends, especially in deeper leagues and in dynasty leagues. But, you know, that's a very good question. I wish I had a good answer, but, you know, right now, if I had to pick, I don't know if they're going to be very viable unless you're in one of these deeper options.
Well, it makes sense that things are a bit mysterious in general, and this is a mysterious tight end room. So, yeah, it's going to be tough to forecast overall, even on the inside. So, all right, Ben, we're going to get you out of here. We got one more question. It's a tough one, though. We're gonna make you put yourself out there. What is your boldest fantasy take for the Bengals in 2020?
I'm so bad at bold takes. It's funny. A couple years ago, so when I was at the Dallas Morning News, you know, we did a roundtable, and my editor was like, "All right, we need one bold take out of everybody." And I was just like, "All right, this is a very dumb exercise, but I'll do it." And I picked Oklahoma to lose to Florida Atlantic. Well, long story short, the fiddle player for my favorite band found it got aggregated as Dallas Morning News writer gives crazy take. My favorite the fiddle player for my favorite band found it and then challenged me to a bet. And so that was kind of wild. And so the take ended up being very bad, but it was cool because I got to meet one of my favorite musicians and we still keep in touch. That's been kind of nice. That's a long way to say I'm very bad at giving bold takes. But I think, you know, to be honest, I think John Ross having a, you know, 800-yard year is not out of the question. I think that he's a big play threat. And I think the big thing with him is, can he build confidence and can he find that confidence? And you got to remember, he's in a contract year because the Bengals did not pick up his fifth-year option. They're basically saying, we need to see something out of you. And I think that's a good place to be in if you're a player. You see guys have big years. And, you know, even if A.J. Green gets hurt again, then you have John Ross. And a lot of the injury problems with him historically have been soft tissue injuries. Last year what happened was more or less a freak accident. So, you know, I think that if he stays away from all of that, I think John Ross could have a really productive year. So, you know, you look at his touchdown rate, you know, touchdowns per target is pretty high. You know, if he can just get his drop rate a little lower, I think he's a very intriguing fantasy option. So I'll go with hot take. Let's go 700 yards and 8 touchdowns for John Ross this year.
Well, I'm hoping that this John Ross take gets in the ether and your favorite ukulele player picks up on it or some sort of the fiddle thing. I mean, I'm just reeling. That's amazing. I mean, who is this fiddle player?
It's Kyle Nix from the Great Turnpike Troubadours. They are now kind of on hiatus. There's been a lot of internal strife within the band, but you know, they are one of my favorite, you know, Texas Red Dirt country bands. They're quite phenomenal. Kyle actually just put out an album. So if you look on the internet, there's a picture of me wearing an OU shirt in front of the Dallas Morning News office that was also part of the losing bet. So not fun. I've had to wear it. It's been in my mentions a lot. My buddies like to harass me with the photo. But all in all, you know, as you live by the take and you die by the take. And sometimes they turn out great. And sometimes they do not. So we'll see how it happens. Maybe this John Ross one pans out. I think I'm due at one of these, you know, one of these days.
Well, it sounds like you're a man of your word, and we have to respect that, Ben. All right, Fiddles, Tommy Tuberville, we've gone a lot of places here. You've said it all. Where can people find all your stuff?
First off, you want to go to ESPN.com and the Bengals page. As much as I love Twitter, Twitter doesn't really pay the bills. I think a lot of writers have a misconception that Twitter is actually more valuable than it is. It is not. It is cool because that's how you link up with a lot of people like yourself. That's kind of one of the cooler things about it. But primarily, go find a good website, even if it's not ours. Or just start reading websites more and try to get off Twitter. I think that's a pretty good philosophy. So ESPN.com, go to the Bengals page. Anything that I write will be up there. And then if you have questions, then come find me on Twitter at Ben_baby. You know, my DMs are open as well. So if you want to slide in and say hello or just chat or talk about Turnpike and what your favorite songs might be, I'm all for that conversation.
Well, I'm going to check them out, and I'm going to hit you up.
Yeah, please do. It's quite solid. If you need some songs, you need a playlist, I will slide that your way. Even if you're not a country person, I think they're very good.
All right. Well, we're going to go to ESPN.com. We're going to go check out the Bengals. Thank you so much for joining me. I'm wishing you a safe and healthy 2020 season, and maybe we'll talk next year. Thanks a lot.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. It's been a blast.
John Ross, the dream is still alive. You are now dialed in.